Welcome to Live with Lon this week. We are so glad to have you. We're going to study the Word of God today. So I want us to begin by praying. Let's do that. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts today to your Word. Open our minds to your Word. Lord, open our spirits to your Word. Make every part of us malleable in your hands, Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit illuminating us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, remember what we study at Lon Solomon Ministries. Tell me what we study. The Bible. Come on now. The whole Bible. And what else? Nothing but the Bible. That's right. And then we apply it to our life. And that indeed is what we're going to do today. So remember, we are studying in the New King James Version of the Bible. We are studying the Gospels. And we, as you know, have reached the Last Supper in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And now we are catching up in John's Gospel. And when we get in John's Gospel to John chapter 18, where we get to the Last Supper, then we will reintegrate all four Gospels together, and we will cover them together as we move on to the arrest, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, etc. And then, as I told you last week, I believe, my hope is to just keep going right into the book of Acts. So, that's where we are, and we're just finishing up today John 12. We're finally finishing John 12, but what a great chapter it's been. So, last week, we talked about how Jesus said, he who believes in me will not walk in darkness. And we had 2 weeks on that verse. We talked about the first week, that person would not walk in darkness in terms of what their purpose and of existence is, what their reason for being on earth is. It's to no longer serve ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5, but to serve him, to live for him who was crucified and rose for us, who died and rose for us. Okay, and then last week, we used the same verse, person who believes in me will not walk in darkness, to talk about how we should not walk in darkness as believers in Christ, how we should seek to walk in obedience to God and in personal holiness before God and in Christ-likeness before God. So if you missed any of that, I hope you'll go back and pick it up. Today we want to finish off the last little piece of the chapter. So let's look, John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. There was our verse for the last 2 weeks. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Why do I say this? For, here's why, I have not spoken on my own initiative, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father said to me, so I speak. Very interesting passage of Scripture here. Obviously, it has a connection to the Trinity, because we have God the Father teaching God the Son what to say You say, how does that work? How am I supposed to know? I don't know. Maybe it's talking about the Lord's incarnation, where as an incarnate being, even though he's deity, Philippians chapter 2 said that Jesus emptied himself, kanao, the kenosis, he emptied himself of his divine prerogatives, and he took on human nature. And maybe as the God-man, who is not exercising all of his godhood prerogatives, maybe that's how the Father spoke to him as the God-man, but temporarily a being that was not exercising all of his prerogatives as being God. I don't know. I just take it for what Jesus said. What he speaks, the Father agrees with, and what the Father agrees with, that's what he speaks, and the Holy Spirit as well. Okay, so this is what Jesus says. He said, and if you don't believe the word that I have spoken to you, we're talking about the word of God. If you don't believe it, Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you at the end of the age. But the word that I spoke that you didn't believe is going to judge you at the end of the age. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought in Revelation chapter 20, at the great white throne judgment, that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is going to sit on the great white throne and is going to judge unbelieving men and women and cast them into various levels of the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, let's look at it, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Well, who would that be? You say, well, it might be God the Father. It's true, it might. So maybe the Lord here in John chapter 12, maybe he's not going to be the one who judges the unbelieving dead. Maybe God the Father is. I don't know. But the important thing is that Jesus says, the word that I have spoken to you is going to judge you. Now it's interesting. Let's compare a couple of other verses, shall we? First, let's look at John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. Just what Jesus said in John 12. God teaches me, and I speak what he tells me. And how about John chapter 17, verse 8, in Jesus' high priestly prayer? He says, now, verse 7, they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Once again, Jesus said, I speak the words that God the Father gave me to speak. And I love John chapter 6, the very end. From that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, this is what Jesus said. He said, I speak what God told me to speak. John chapter 12, let's look, verse 50. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. That's what Peter said. You have the words of everlasting life. Where are we going to go? And finally, I would like to remind us that the word will not just judge the unbelieving, the word from the New Testament, but even the word of God from the Old Testament will judge. Listen to what Jesus said. Let's look at John chapter 5. Look at this. Verse 45, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. In the Old Testament, watch, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses is going to accuse you before God. The words he wrote are going to accuse you before God. So it's not just the New Testament, it's the Old Testament as well. Okay, so now this is the end of our passage. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. I came into the world to save the world. Not sure 100% that what he's saying when he said, I didn't come to judge, because he is going to judge, but I came to save the world. My word, what I say, is going to judge you. And what the whole Bible says is going to judge you. The Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Oh, and what? By the way, what did Moses say that's going to judge them? Well, let's look back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord, Moses wrote, your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, like Moses, from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. Verse 18, and the Lord said to me, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them, the Israelites, all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. And this prophecy was a well-known messianic prophecy that the Jewish people knew well at the time of Christ and were looking for this prophet with a capital P. You say, Alon, how do you know that? Well, I know it because of John chapter 1. Look with me at John chapter 1. John the Baptist is out baptizing and calling people to repentance, and the Pharisees, the rabbis, came from Jerusalem and said, why is it that you baptize? Verse 25, John chapter 1. Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, the Messiah, or Elijah, the prophet, who's supposed to come right before the Messiah, nor, look at this, the prophet with a capital P, meaning the prophet that was promised in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And what did God say? You don't listen to him, I will require it of you. Because they had asked him in chapter 1, verse 21, what then are you, Elijah? And he said, I am not. And then look, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Okay, so, all of that to say, the word of God is going to judge unbelievers at the great white throne judgment. And maybe before. Now, that's the end of our passage. But this passage has enormous significance, so let's ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on. One, two, three. So what? That's right. And where's my buddy? Here he is, Jackie Gleason. I got a different picture of him this week. See if you like this one. How sweet it is. There he is. Now, what's the significance of our passage today? What do I want us to take home with us today? What's the so what? The so what is simply this: that the Word of God has enormous authority. The Word of God has eternal power, not only on this side of the grave, but the Word of God has eternal power on the other side of the grave. Not only here is it for people to learn how to get eternal life, and not only here on earth is it for people to learn how to live in a way that pleases God and brings the richest blessing of God on our life. It is for that. But on the other side of the grave, the Word of God has eternal power in terms of it being the measuring stick, the law, the jurisprudence by which people who don't know Christ are going to be judged. And what does that mean? Well, it means two things. First, it's going to be how they are judged with regard to going to heaven or into the lake of fire. Watch. John chapter 3. Listen to what the word that Jesus spoke says. Look at the last verse of John 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son, meaning Jesus himself, has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son will not see life, but the wrath, the anger, the judgment of God abides, dwells, sits on him. Hey, you get on the other side of the grave, you didn't believe on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth. Here is the word. Jesus said the word's going to judge you. Here's what the word says. He who doesn't believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath, the judgment of God sits on him. So you get to the great white throne judgment, or maybe before. Jesus says, I'm not going to judge you. The word's going to judge you. Here it is. Wow. How about 1 John chapter 5, verse 11? And this is the testimony, let's put it on the screen, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not available anywhere else. Watch. Next verse, verse 12. He who has the Son has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. You get on the other side of the grave, stand before God, great white throne or maybe before, and you say, oh Lord, please have mercy. Oh Lord, can I go? The word is going to judge you. And what does the word say that Jesus spoke? He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. I'm sorry, but that's the word. And we could keep going, but I think when it comes to eternal life, you got the point. Right? Okay. And this is why at the Great White Throne Judgment, there's going to be the Book of Life there, where there are going to be two books there, but there'll be the Book of Life, where everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to heaven. When we come to Christ, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life immediately. I think the reason the Lamb's Book of Life is there at this judgment is so when people say, but I went to church, and I did believe in him, and I did pray, and I said the Nicene Creed, and I put money in the offering plate, and I sang in the choir, and I taught Sunday school, and I went to Bible study. I've got to be going to heaven. I believe the Lamb's Book of Life is present, so the one sitting on the throne can say, okay, if you don't believe me, go over there and look in the Lamb's Book of Life and see if your name's there. Look under Solomon, S-O-L, and you see if Solomon Law Neal, birthday August 24, 1948, is written in there. You see it? Well, I thank God for me. It will be written in because I've trusted Christ. It's been 53 years now. But if you haven't, not going to be an entry there for you. The Word has judged you. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see eternal life, but the anger and the wrath and the judgment of God abides on him. And the second way in which the Word is going to be our judge is in determining what level of the lake of fire we're going to. Remember, I've taught you this, that there's greater condemnation for some people than there are for other people going into the lake of fire. There are levels of the lake of fire. And let me show you that. In Luke chapter 12, we have Jesus telling the parable of the faithful servant and the bad servant. Verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself, nor do according to his master's will be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know and committed things worthy of stripes will be beaten with few. What he's talking about, people going into eternal damnation there. And this is why people will often say, well, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that somebody coming from some culture where they barely even heard of Jesus, if at all, and missing heaven, that person's going to be given the exact same punishment as Stalin or Hitler or some of these horrible people who did horrible things, serial killers? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that they won't get given the same horrible punishment. It'll be horrible, but it won't be as bad because they did not know their master's will in every respect. And they'll get fewer stripes. Are you with me? So the great white throne is where God determines what levels of hell people go to. And that's why in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, says, and I saw the dead, great white throne judgment, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, so they could check and see if their name was in it. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, plural. They weren't judged for their works based on their name being in the book of life. That was heaven or hell. That was salvation or not salvation. But now, all of their deeds were recorded in the books that were there. And under your name and my name, there's all our deeds recorded. And we are judged in Revelation 20, in the great white throne judgment, just before we're thrown into the lake of fire if we don't know Christ. We are judged by the books, which are full of our deeds that we did in the flesh. So, and like I've told you, nobody's getting away with anything. These things are all going in the books, and the books are coming out at the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, that could be good news for you, for a person, or it could be bad news for a person. But that's the way it's going to be. And how does God determine whether those things written in the books were good or bad, right or wrong, righteous or unrighteous? He determines them by the Word. What the Word says. What the Word teaches. And so once again, Jesus' comment is completely true. You will be judged by the words that I have spoken, which are in the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. Now, Lon, you still haven't answered why this is so significant. It's very significant because it means that when we're talking to people who don't know the Lord, we need to make sure we use the Word. We need to make sure that they hear what's in the Word, because that is going to be what judges them, and we need to use that to make sure they've heard it. John 3:36, he who doesn't believe is already condemned, and the wrath of God abides on him. People should hear that. If you don't want to believe, let me give you a verse. Let me give you another verse. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. It's important to give people the Word. And not just about salvation, but even in terms of everyday living. I told you the other day that I had spoken to some folks about their conversation at the dinner table, who was down, it was not good. It was sexually loaded and kind of down in the gutter. And I quoted to them, or at least I did my very best to quote to them from memory, Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read it to you. Instead of just saying this is bad and we shouldn't do it, no, I'm not the authority. It doesn't matter whether I think it's bad. What matters is what the Word says. And listen to the Word. Here we go. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "Walk as children of light." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, for it is shameful," verse 12, "even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." And that's what I tried to quote. Lasciviousness and sexual loaded conversations and jokes and lewd talk, all of which is mentioned right here in the Bible, that is things we should not do. Why? Because I wanted them to hear the Word say it. Not just me say it. The Word. And for this reason, people will sometimes say, "Oh, why? Just stop throwing scripture at me. I don't want to hear stop throwing that the word from the Bible at me." Well, you know what? Whether they want to hear it or not, they're going to hear it again when they stand before the Lord Jesus and he says, "Now, let's look at that table conversation you had in 2024 with Lon Solomon, where he tried to say to you that the conversation was down in the gutter and this was unpleasing to me." Ooh, Lord, you know about that? Yeah. And he told you the Word. He gave you the Word on it. And you ignored it. So I'm going to let the Word judge you here. You with me? Use the Word. The word of God is powerful even after the grave. And we need to use it when we talk to people, not as a club, but as a way of appealing to them to listen to God, whether it's salvation, or to listen to God, whether it's Christian living and appropriate living. Are you with me? I'll close with a story. When we went to South Africa a few years ago, I led a tour of people to South Africa. And when we were in Cape Town, we went up to Table Mountain, took the cable car up. There was about 50 of us, maybe 60, something like that. And there was this wonderful place up on the top, on the flat part, up on the top of Table Mountain, where it had a little kind of, up against the rock wall, natural rock wall, it had a little bit of almost like an amphitheater environment. And so I gathered everybody over there, and we had a sermon before we toured around Table Mountain. And as I was talking about it, I was actually talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about how they stood firm for the Lord. And they said, even if you don't save us, we're still standing firm for you, Lord. And so I was talking about that. And as I was talking about it, I had my back to the rock wall and was standing on a stone, so I was a little above the people. And the people were all facing the rock wall and listening. Well, there was a group of about six or seven bikers. They had, you know, you can tell, they had the biker clothing on and the helmets and their bicycles up there on the mountain. And they were sitting at a table about 25 feet from behind where people were standing, maybe 20 feet. And one of the guys came over from the biking group and stood at the back of my group and just stared at me with incredible disdain and contempt. And I could just tell, you know, he was like, I mean, you know, he was just, you could tell that he wasn't thrilled about what I was talking about. So I tried to ignore him. And when we were done, I walked over to him because he was still standing back there. And I said, you know, I guess you really didn't like my sermon. And he said, no, I not only didn't like the sermon, he said, I didn't like the idea that you were doing a sermon whatsoever. I said, well, you know, Table Mountain is, you know, people are free up here to talk about anything they want to talk about. And he was just like, no, you're not free to talk about whatever you want to talk about. I said, why, was it disturbing you? Yes, it was disturbing me. It was bothering me. I said, well, I'm sorry, sir, that wasn't my intention. So we parted ways, and he walked back over to his group, and they began laughing. I knew what they were laughing at me and this whole thing. So that's okay. I've been a pastor for almost 50 years. I mean, it takes a lot to offend me. So anyway, I decided I'm going to walk over to him, and I took one of the group members with me because I just wanted a witness of what would be said. Now, we walked over, and I said, hey, your friend here came over and indicated that he didn't really like what I was talking about, and I said, and that it was offensive to y'all. And so I just wanted to come over and apologize. I wasn't trying to be offensive. And I said, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I said, but, what I was sharing is very important. And I shared John 3:36. I said, you know, the Bible teaches And I don't know if any of you here have ever believed in Jesus, but the Bible teaches he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see everlasting life, but the anger, the wrath, the judgment of God abides, sits on him. And I gave them that verse of Scripture. And they listened. Why did I give them a verse of Scripture? Because what they're going to be accountable to is not me, it's Scripture. And what's going to turn their heart to the Lord is not my ability to debate, it's Scripture. Well, they dismissed it all. They wanted nothing to do with it. And so I walked away. And I went and got some hot chocolate with my friend that was with me. And on the way back, they were still there. And I said, come here, I want to walk by these guys one more time. And he's like, really? Lon, they don't want anything to do with you. I'm like, I know, but just come with me a second. And I walked over there. And I said, you know, fellas? And they're like, it's you again? And I'm like, you know, I just want to say one last thing before I leave. And they were like, you're leaving? Oh, great. I'm like, one last thing. And that is, if y'all don't believe in Jesus, one of these days when you show up on the other side of the grave in hell, because you will, you're going to remember back to Table Mountain. And you're going to remember back to my standing just a couple of feet from you guys. And you're going to remember that verse of Scripture. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see eternal life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You're going to remember that verse of Scripture. And you are going to be so sad that I was standing right here willing to help you believe and get eternal life. And you turned it down. I mean, I'm right here looking at you nose to nose. And if it's possible to make hell worse, it's going to be worse because you remember that I was right here offering to help you. And you made fun of me and had wanted nothing to do with it. I said, so I hope y'all will think about what we talked about. And I started walking away. I wasn't mad. I was angry. I didn't threaten them. And one of the guys from the group came and caught up with me as I was heading towards the cable car. And it was just he and I. And he said, you know, I really want to apologize for my friend's behavior. And I said, yeah, okay, no problem, I understand. I said, I'm fine. He said, and I really want to let you know I'm going to think about that verse of Scripture. I said, well, I hope you do. And I gave him my email so he could write me. You say, did you ever hear from him? No. But that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't lose the piece of paper. And then when I get to heaven, maybe there'll be somebody from that group, him or someone else, come up to me and go, hey, you remember me? Not really. I hate it when people walk up to me and go, hey, remember me? Because I don't, almost ever. And I have to say, refresh my memory, please. I said, this guy may come up to me in heaven and go, no, I don't remember you. Refresh my memory, please. He goes, Table Mountain, South Africa, 2017. No way. You were one of the bikers up there? Yes, sir, I was. And I took that verse to heart. And here I am in heaven. My argumentative ability would never get someone to heaven from that group. Scripture, the Word. So folks, when we're sharing the Lord, we need the Word. And when we're talking to people about their behavior, for which we're all going to be held accountable, we need the Word. Last story. You say, no, you got another one? I do. You'll love this one. This is it. We were making a not a sermon, just a thought a few years ago, and I wanted to use a line from Hotel California. You can check out any time you want, but you can never leave. And so what I wanted to say, and what this actual Not a Sermon, which exists, does say, is, hi there, this is Lon Solomon. You know, hell is a lot like the Hotel California. You can check out whenever you want, but you can never leave. And hell is a terrible place, so people want to check out and leave, but they can't. So what do we do about that? Well, folks, the solution is never to check in the first place. And the way to do that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, he who believes in me has eternal life and will never come into condemnation, but has passed from death into eternal life. Not a sermon, just a thought. That's what we wanted to do. And notice the scripture verse. Every not a sermon, we have a scripture verse. So, but I thought while we were taping it, I said, you know, rather than my speaking those words, why don't we use the music bed? Actually take that section out of the actual song and play it at the beginning and then fade it out. You can check out whenever you want, but you can never leave. Well, we'll fade it out, and that will catch people's attention even more on the radio than my speaking. So we cut a second one without my speaking the words, you can check out whenever you want, but using the actual music bit. But to run it, we had to have the permission of the Eagles, or we'd get in trouble. So we sent it off to the Eagles, asking if Don Henley would give us his permission to use the music bed. Well, we got a message back from their agent saying that he had played the whole Not a Sermon with the scripture verse and everything in it for Don Henley, and according to the agent, Don Henley said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life, the Not a Sermon. And you tell them if they use the music bed, we will sue them. Really? Okay. So we had to make it without the music bed. Lon, what's the point? The point is, Scripture. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe in the Son will not see eternal life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Scripture was, Don Henley heard it. I don't care if he heard it through some random request that we could use the music. Who cares? He heard it. And that word will judge him. So I'm glad he heard it. I hope he gives his life to Christ. But at least on the other side of the grave, he can never say, God, I never knew. God's going to say, no, no, no. You remember that weird guy that sent you that not a sermon, just a thought, and wanted to use the music bed for Hotel California? Yeah, vaguely. The scripture verse was in there, Don. Sorry, you did hear it. And now, it's going to be your judge. Lord, help Don Henley come to Christ. Help those bikers come to Christ. And Lord, help us use your word with everyone else we want to help us come to Christ. Help us to be people of the word who not just read it ourselves, but who use it each and every day And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I'm way over time. Sorry, I get a little carried away. But anyway, God bless you. We're going to start in John chapter 13 next week. An amazing four chapters coming up. 13, 14, 15, five chapters. 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Amazing scriptures coming. And we're going to study them together, Lord willing, here on Live with Lon. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week.